what, Friday night slash Saturday morning? You be the judge. Hey there, you. It's Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis, taking you up until 5 a.m. Five big hours to talk with you at 888-808-1019. Lots to get into, lots to discuss tonight. I got to tell you, before I forget, sometimes I mean to talk about things and then I forget about them. I have the most unbelievable streak going. This would sound preposterous, but I tell you, hand to God, it's true. I've been working at the radio station now, I don't really remember when I started, but it's been almost a year. Last year, the first show I hosted was during the NBA playoffs last year, so it's getting pretty close. And ever since I have driven into this station in Manhattan, I come from Jersey, I live in Jersey, I use the Holland Tunnel. And every single time that I have driven through the Holland Tunnel, bar none, it's a consecutive streak. I'm like Cal Ripken and Lou Gehrig put together. Every single time I have driven through that tunnel, somehow, against all odds, I have been behind a car that has never driven through that tunnel before. They get to the other side, and it's, whoa, what is this? I think that most of them have never been in the city before, and a good portion of them have never driven in a car before that very moment. It's incredible. You would figure one of these days I'm going to get somebody, just drives like 25 miles an hour, which is the speed limit, I believe, coming out of the tunnel. No. Every single day, every single time. Wow, look at that building. How do I turn this wheel? Is it this circle in front of me? It's always an experience. It's always an experience. I got one of those dash cams. It's my favorite show now. I just rewind what I went through on the trip to work and the trip home from work. It defies explanation. But that streak of driving behind somebody coming out of the Holland Tunnel every single time that has never experienced the Holland Tunnel before, it's intact. It's absolutely intact. But we got a lot to talk about tonight at 888-808-1019. I mean, do you have enough sports to keep you whole? Usually this is the time of year where it's sometimes a little flat, right? You're kind of waiting for the baseball to get underway. You're waiting for the college bet. You're waiting for March Madness. You're waiting for Selection Sunday. But you got the World Baseball Classic this year. If you're into that, certainly hit me up at 888-808-1019. The U.S. coming away with a win against Brazil. Taking care of business. Aaron Judge, a big home run there. Team captain. Seems like the speech, which got panned, what did you want him to do? Wouldn't it have been weirder if he was like, come on, God, and giving like some rah-rah speech before you've even played a game at the World Baseball Classic? Very, very odd. But if you're into Team USA or any of the performances today with Shohei Ohtani and all that type of stuff, certainly you can hit me up at 888-808-1019. You got the college basketball. St. John's takes care of the Big East regular season title, if that floats your boat. Certainly you can do that as well. But to me, the story for tonight are the New York Knicks. The Knicks are this is the Knicks time. And it's not fully Nick time yet, because Nick time is going to be playoff time. We all know NBA regular season only matters so much. It only matters so much to get to where you really want to get to and where you have to get to if you have some expectations like the Knicks do of the playoffs. No matter, the Knicks could win. What do they have, 18 games remaining? They could win the next 18 games in a row. They could, against all odds, hold every single team that they play the rest of the regular season to 80 points. The Knicks could go out and score 150 points in every single game that they play the rest of the regular season. And if they don't get to the NBA Finals this year, if they get ousted in the conference finals, if they get ousted in the second round, if, God forbid, they get ousted in the first round, the season will be a failure. The regular season, it's just something to tide us over until the NBA playoffs. They call it the second season, the playoffs. It's the real season in the NBA. Especially for a Knicks team that has been built for the playoffs this year. That is their window. That might be their only window. But that is certainly the thing they have to deal with right now. And they go out tonight opening up a road trip against the Denver Nuggets out in Denver. And they, forget about handled business, they absolutely waxed the Denver Nuggets. Knicks win it 142 to 103. I guess they got off to a little bit of a slow start, but after that, they were running and gunning. They were handling their business. They put up, 65 points in the first half? They respond in the third quarter with a 40-burger, 37 points in the fourth, just running away with it, just absolutely demolishing the Nuggets on their home court. And I believe this is the Nuggets' worst home loss on their home court in franchise history. I'll check on that, but that's how bad it was. The Knicks, there was never, after halftime, there was never a doubt the Knicks were going to win this game. And plenty of guys that played well, the biggest of which, OG Anunoby, puts up 34 points, leads the way, six players in double figures, six threes for him, seven rebounds, five assists, had four steals, had a block as well, did the job on Jokic, who Jokic was held to 38, but it wasn't a typical 38. There was a lot of garbage time in that 38. So OG was absolutely unbelievable. Karl Anthony Towns, another efficient game. Now, it doesn't jump off the page to you because they didn't need it to jump off the page. 17 points, 13 rebounds, was active, had a couple of silly fouls again, but still did the job that he needed to do. And it wasn't like you had to ask that much out of the starters. And to think that the Knicks could go out and put up 142 points against the Nuggets on the road, and Jalen Brunson would not be one of the six players in double figures, held to 9 points, 3 of 13 shooting. So another poor shooting night for Jalen Brunson, but it didn't matter. So Mitchell Robinson was big off the bench. I mean, all you need to know is you got a Tyler Kolek sighting. We saw Tyler Kolek in the game. We saw Jordan Clarkson in the game. I kind of forgot they had Jordan Clarkson. So they go out and they pummel the Nuggets 142 to 103. And, you know, after the loss to the Thunder the other night, which was, to me, a bit disappointing. I mean, you want to win the games. It's not the end of the world. Again, it's the regular season. I can't get all that worked up over regular season losses, even against a great team. You know, like it's a possible finals preview. The Knicks are good. I know the Knicks are good. Would I have preferred they won the game? Yes, because there are no moral victories when you're a team like the Knicks. You have expectations. You have real world expectations this year. So there's no, hey, we hung with the NBA champs. No, you're hoping to be NBA champs this year. So if that's the case, there are no moral victories. So, but they come back from that performance, and I'd say this might be their best performance of the season, to score 142 points on the road against Denver. Josh Hart was a bit of a question mark to play because of the back. He goes out there, plays 25 minutes, puts up 18 points, and the Knicks completely dominated. So when you take a look at how things are kind of rounding into form and where this thing is headed, because you still have, 18 games before the playoffs roll around. There's still, you know, essentially a quarter of the season. But at this point, you just kind of want to speed up the season to get to the postseason. You want to get to the playoffs at this point because of the way the Knicks are playing. So I'm talking about, there's still a quarter of the season to go. In the last quarter of the season, including tonight, the Knicks in their last 21 games, 16-5. Their defensive rating in that span is the best in the NBA at 104.4 per game. Tonight, they shot 58% from the floor. They shot almost 50% from three, 47% from three. And they dominated this game start to finish. So I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to go, because I know what the Knicks are, and this is what the Knicks can be. Now, are there times you get frustrated when they get dominated by, like, a team like the Pistons? Yeah. But this is who the Knicks are, and they are showing you, even like in the loss to the Thunder, they can play with anybody, and if they play their best, they can beat anybody. They are right there at the top of the contenders, not just in the Eastern Conference, but in the NBA this year. And those are two separate things. Like, if the Knicks get to the finals this year, there's no way you can say that the season is a failure. Now, if they got blown out in the finals, that may be one thing, but that's the next step in this process. That's the next step that the Knicks, this Knicks team has to make. But what they're showing you is, you know, we get all caught up in games in October and November, but as we're moving a little closer now to the spring, the snow, I finally saw some grass on my lawn. That's a sign that maybe spring is not too far off. And the spring means NBA playoffs, and the Knicks are starting to round into form. Now, I do have to preface this, because it's interesting that the Knicks tonight go out and put up this performance, and it's the same night that Jason Tatum returns for the Boston Celtics. So he goes out there after the Achilles injury, what was it, like 10 months ago, I guess? And plays 27 minutes, puts up 15 points. Played, I guess, a little bit longer than I thought that he probably was going to. I figured probably first night back, you're going to play maybe 20 minutes. And I would guess that they're going to have to monitor him moving forward. It's not just like, hey, he's back and just throw him out there and he's good to go. Maybe by the playoffs that might be the case. But at least for the first couple of weeks, they're going to watch him and make sure that they're not pushing too much, because the last thing they want to do is have their franchise player get injured or have a setback or anything like that. But what the Knicks fan has to prepare themselves for, and I feel like this is a good indicator of it, the verified Knicks haters, they have been very quiet. They pop up from time to time. When the Knicks have low moments, you know those people, oh, the Knicks, they lost the Pistons. They lost to this team. They lost the Cavaliers. It's the end of the world. And a lot of those people are just verified Knicks haters. They root against, I don't know why. They just don't enjoy happiness, I guess. They don't enjoy seeing other people enjoy themselves. And look, that's fair if it's a fan base that is just obnoxious with their success. Knicks fans haven't had that much success to be obnoxious. They celebrate when their team wins because they've been through the hard times. It's almost impossible to be a Knicks fan and be a bandwagon fan at this point in that, well, I just came in for the win. I mean, you're old enough. Like, the Knicks have only been good here for like 6 years. So unless you're like 7 years old, you saw some rough times. You saw some things, man. But the verified Knicks haters are out there. So I'm sure that people, and they've already started to do, Jason Tatum's coming back for the Celtics. Did you hear? He's not just coming back. He's starting for the Celtics. He's back from his Achilles injury. Oh, that could change things in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. How did they expect people that say that, people that write that, how do they expect Knicks fans to react to that? Like, oh no, Jason Tatum's, oh my God, what are we going to do? Jason Tatum's back. They beat the Celtics last year with Jason Tatum. Now, does Jason Tatum's return make the Celtics better? Yeah. Are the Celtics a contender in the Eastern Conference this year? Yeah. But I still think that the Knicks are the most talented team. I still think they're the best team. I think that they could still have a higher ceiling than they did last year, especially if they're healthier overall. And they've had a different approach to keep everybody healthy this year, keep everybody firing on all cylinders by the time they get to the playoffs. So am I going to suddenly start to melt down anytime something pops up like Jason Tatum's return or when they lose the Pistons and stuff like that? Like, I don't know what people expect Knicks fans to react to. They're the best team. They're the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. They should be in the NBA Finals this year. Could it go wrong? Sure, it could go wrong. Nothing is foolproof. Nothing is foolproof. And just because you're the most talented team doesn't necessarily mean you will be the best team. You have to go out there and win the games and playoff series, have a lot of twists and turns from one game to the next. But the Knicks are in a really good spot right now. They're playing really well. And tonight they went out against a team that is absolutely considered a title contender, and they mop the floor with them. And as you're starting to now get the playoffs aren't around the corner just yet, but you can see them a little bit in the distance. You can start to see them start to come into focus. And this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've kind of been holding on for. So when you go out and you have a performance like this tonight, I'm not saying it changes anything in the overall, but it just kind of reminds you of how good this Knick team can be. And tonight, really, really good.